Thank you, and again, as always, when we dedicate a shir, the Divrei Torah should be le'iloi nishmasam of the Niftarim, and it should have an aliyas neshama. Today, is another famous yahrzeit, the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And as I was taking refreshments in the back, I'm sure many of you have heard of the minhag that many Sfarim say is a big segula for many types of brachas, and it goes by Chai Rotel. A rotel is simply a European measure of liquid equal to around, I think, 3 liters. And Chai is 18. And the concept is not, as some people think, that's how much liquor you're supposed to drink. I mean, some people do misinterpret that very extreme. But rather, it's brought down that on the day that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai died, he said it was a day of great simcha, because he was revealing the secrets of the Torah to Am Yisrael, the Nistra of the Torah. In fact, many describe Lag BaOmer as the Shavuos of Kabbalah, the Shavuos of the hidden aspect of the Torah. And he said that anyone that is mishtatef in the Simcha of Lag BaOmer will be zocha to be connected to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So one of the ways you're mishtatef with the simcha is by providing refreshments to the many pilgrims who come to Meiron, and that's Chai Rotel, and of course it's become institutionalized already, you write out a check, and the like. But it's important to know that many Sfarim say it doesn't have to be refreshments that you serve at Meiron. Any refreshments that you give, any achnasas orchim, any hospitality that is given to those who are learning Torah, that is done on Lag BaOmer in honor of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, will have the same segula as if you did it in Meiron. So Memela, the refreshments today have a special chashivas. You are being mekayim the minhag of Chai Reitel, although without the liquor, the Chai Reitel per se, and one is mishtatif in that great simcha. It is Lag BaOmer, and of course we're going to talk about Lag BaOmer today, and this to some degree will be a continuation of last week, because if we ask ourselves, you know, why is Lag BaOmer a big day of simcha, a big joyous day? Now the truth of the matter is, according to some shitas, including Rav Yosef Karo, who was in Tzfat and lived very near Meiron, Lag BaOmer was not a big deal. Many Sfaradim actually observed the Avelis of Sfira for 33 full days, and they only allow haircuts and weddings and Lag BaOmer. So Lag BaOmer is not a magical day, so to speak. It is simply 33 days of Avelis. But at the Minhagim of Ashkenazim and many Sfaradim as well, is that Lag BaOmer is a tremendous simcha. And there are two reasons that are given, although historically they're a bit problematical. But these are the reasons that are makubal. Reason number one is that we talked about the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva that died in the period between Pesach and Shavuos, and Lag BaOmer, they stopped dying. Now there's a machlokus what that means. Some say they stopped dying because they all died, meaning to say they all died, there was nobody left. That's a little difficult to understand. If you understand that Lag BaOmer, there was nobody left, then it's not so clear what is the great simcha. But even then, there's a simcha because, chas v'shalom, the midas hadin of Hashem that was very, very strong could have spread to the rest of the communities of Torah. And the fact that it didn't means there was an es rachamim, an es ratzayin, a time in which Hashem was gracious and compassionate, and that itself is a time of simcha. Of course, like the other opinion, they unfortunately continued to die afterwards, but Lag BaOmer was a break, was a hiatus. I'll come back to that. That is reason number one that is given for the Simcha of Lag BaOmer. Reason number two is later, not the same time. This is Mekubal. Now again, historically there's some debate about this, and I know the historical discussion, but it's brought down in many, many Makoros that this was the Hilula, this was the Petira of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now let me just remind you, after Rabbi Akiva lost his 24,000 students, the Gemara says the world was desolate, the world was empty, Torah almost disappeared, and Rabbi Akiva managed to rebuild with 5 Talmidim who came after the 24,000, and the whole Masorah of Torah Shebal Peh came through those five Talmidim. And the greatest of those five Talmidim was in fact Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he was not one of the original 24,000, but he was one of the five replacements. And, obviously, his godless was phenomenal. He is buried, as you know, everybody knows, half a million people know today, is buried in Meiron, together with his great son, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And at one point, the Gemara records that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai felt very bad because some of his Torah was not accepted by others. And his great Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, told him, Shimon, it is enough that I and the Ribono Shel Olam know how great you are. The world does not necessarily always have to appreciate it. Now, even though normally, people ask the obvious kasha, normally the yard site of a great tzaddik, except among Hasidim, who make, actually they rejoice in all yard sites, but for example, some people fast on the day of Zion Adar, when Moshe Rabbeinu died. That's called a tainus for righteous, tainus tzaddikim. We fast. It was a tragedy. So normally, one would not, in fact, the halacha, it is actually a proper custom that one should fast on the yard site of one's parents. Many people do it, many people don't do it, but nevertheless, the old minhag of Am Yisrael, and this is recorded in the Gemara, is that one would fast on the yard site of a parent. And yet, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, we have this immense celebration, not on the day that he was born, but on the day that he died. So again, the Svarim tell us that this is connected to the idea that on that day he revealed the greatest, deepest secrets of the Torah, that then became concretized in the book that is known as the Zohar HaKadosh, the Book of Splendor, the Book of Radiance, and therefore the day of his Patira was a day of great joy because it was a day of great revelation of the Sodos HaTorah, the Pnimius HaTorah. And there's an interesting point that Svarim make, and they say that Nister, the hidden part of the Torah, and the revealed part of the Torah are of course complementary. We need both, but they work in opposite ways. This is actually a very fascinating chiluk. He says, in Nigla, in the revealed part of the Torah, in halachic analysis, the primary methodology that one engages in is to separate and draw distinctions between things that appear similar. In other words, in halachic analysis, you have different things that look the same, and we're constantly trying to find subtle distinctions to separate. Nistar works in the opposite plane. Instead of taking things that look alike and show how they are different, Nistar takes things that look very different and tries to unify them and connect them and show how they all emanate from a common source of Kedusha. So we would basically look at Nigla as analytic, which actually means to separate and distinguish, and we would look at Nistar as synthetic. But synthetic doesn't mean fake, but synthetic means synthesis, in which you try to see the underlying unity in the multiplicity of creation. And that is indeed the process of life. One needs to distinguish, and one also needs to see the commonality and the pattern, and that ultimately is what Nistar does, that one sees the underlying unity in the multiplicity of Hashem's Bria. Now, what's interesting is, last week, I think, we talked about the idea that Sfira Sa'imer, generally, embodies two different types of service that are often inconsistent with each other, at least in real life, although they shouldn't be. To the extent that we commemorate by our mourning the deaths of the students of Rabbi Akiva, and Chazal tell us that the reason those students died is because they did not show proper kavod for each other. And as Rav Hirsch pointed out, kavod is not about politeness, and it's not about derech eretz. But kavod comes from the etymology of heaviness, weight. It means seeing the significance of the other, seeing their chashivas, seeing that they matter. You can be polite to somebody, but you look at them literally as a lightweight, as not having a significance. Kavod is the opposite idea, where I see the significance. Again, I think I may have mentioned Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, even on the mitzvah of kibud avim, honoring your parents, even though halacha seems to objectify it. In other words, it refers to behaviors. Give your parents food and drink. Take them where they need to go. And of course that's true. But Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says in a spiritual way, one does not fulfill kibud avim until you identify in your mind qualities that make your parents special. Now it may very well be, nobody is special in every way. And one might have all sorts of complaints and whatever it might be. But you try to identify, whether it be dedication, whether it be kindness, whether it be conscientiousness, sense of duty, whether it be sense of humor, generosity, whatever it is. One has to identify something in their parents that is special and unique and worthy of emulation. And that is what kibud avim. Kibud avim means you see their gravitas. So Rav Hirsch points out that the idea, and again I'm repeating, but this will lead into something new. Rav Hirsch points out that we can assume that the students of Rabbi Akiva were not rude to each other. We can assume they did not speak lashon hara about each other, although some svarim actually say that. We can assume they were not pushing each other out of line. They were not disrespectful in the superficial way. These were, after all, 24,000 students of the greatest gadol hador. But Rav Hirsch says it was more of an attitude. They did not see the uniqueness in each other. Maybe because, as sometimes happens, they had such a great Rebbe that all of them were just trying to connect to Rebbe Akiva. They didn't really see the need for each other. They didn't see the purpose of each other. Each of us has our own direct connection. We don't need each other. So, if the morning of Sfiras HaOmer is to make us think of the deaths of the students of Rebbe Akiva, then what we are bidden to do during this period is to inculcate within our personalities a sense of kavod for every Jew. To some degree, every human being as well, because as I said before, and it's very, very clear, the famous pasuk in the Torah that says that all human beings are created b'tzelem Elokim, in the image of God, does include non-Jews, and my proof of that is from Pirkei Avos, where Rabbi Akiva, of all people, has two ma'amorim, one next to each other. The first is, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem, beloved is Adam who is created in the image of Hashem. The next statement is, Chavivin Yisrael Shenikru Banim Lamakom. Now, Rabbi Akiva is clearly juxtaposing the word Adam and the word Yisrael. Every Adam is in the image of Hashem. Yisrael has the extra distinction that we are God's children. So the Tzelem Elokim is on everybody, and the Banim Lamakom is the uniqueness that Hashem has. So certainly the Jews are unique, but the Tzelem Elokim appellation does apply to everyone. So that is what Kavod is about. Now, the second aspect of Sfira, which maybe I should have said first, is preparation for Matan Torah that requires passion, commitment, fervor, right? We link Pesach and Shavuos. And the point that I was making last week was that in the polarized world we live in, these values sometimes, unfortunately, operate in contradiction, because as we get more and more passionate and fervent about our relationship to Hashem, we look at others who are not moving in exactly the same direction. We look at them as superficial, flighty, insignificant, bad, whatever the term is. We tend to have less and less respect for people who are not moving exactly the way we're moving. And yet, the Avodah of Sfira is to understand that in our hiskarvus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our attempt to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to do so with the path of seeing the kavod in every human being. And once again, as a practical matter, since Shlomo HaMelech tells us that water reflects the face that you show the water, The more we have kavod for others, the more they will honor us. And that indeed is what Pirkei Avos says. Ezeyu mechubad, who is the person who will be honored? Hamechabed es habrios, he who shows honor to others. It doesn't only mean who is deserving of honor, but it means the person who will get honor by the process of being mechabed others. So what I want to show you today is that these two ideas, which in the fractured, polarized world we live in, seem to almost be contradictory, but in reality they are the same, are actually reflected in the dichotomy of Lag BaOmer itself. That two themes of Lag BaOmer are simply exemplifying the two themes of Sfiras HaOmer as a whole. Let's first take the idea that the students of Rabbi Akiva were dying, right? They were dying every day. They were dying. Lag BaOmer was stopped. There was at least a hiatus on Lag BaOmer. We know that the Mekubalim teach us that every single week of Sfira corresponds to the what are called the seven lower spheres. So here, let me just, again, I'm going to keep this very, very basic, because obviously I'm not a Mekubal, and much of this will be beyond us. This is just simple, just to grasp some very basic ideas. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in Kabbalah and the Zohar as Ein Sof, without limit, which means there's nothing we can say about the Atzmius of God. There's nothing we can say about the essence of Hashem that's totally beyond any human comprehension. But Hashem's interaction with the universe, the manifestations of His presence in the universe, occur through what are called 10 Sviros, which are called 10 emanations. And essentially, the Sviros themselves are understood as metaphors, because we're simply using human terms to describe what Hashem is doing, recognizing that these metaphors are incomplete. But in the ten spheros are in turn divided into two groupings, 3 and 7. The highest three are called Muchen. Muchen is Moach, God's brain, meaning they're describing God's internal mental processes. And they're kind of way beyond us. There's like kind of what goes through God's mind, whatever that means. They are called Muchen. And the top three are enumerated in different ways. Some call them Keser, the crown, and Chochma and Bina. And others call them Chochma, Bina, Das. But they refer to Hashem's decision to do something. Now, again, what we're doing here is we're using a description that connotes sequences. Just like a human being. First you think, then you talk, then you act. With Hashem, everything is simultaneous. But the imagery here is Hashem kavyachol, we always have to say kavyachol as if it would be possible, goes through a mental process. And that is in the mochin. And then things manifest itself on earth, and that is through what are called the midos, the characteristics of Hashem, right? So the upper three are really beyond our comprehension. They refer to the internal mental operations of the Almighty. Listen, how many people understand the mental operations or the of a computer? You know, so obviously what's going on inside there is beyond us. Well, one can make kal v'chomer, kal v'chomer, kal v'chomer, legabe, what is going on in God's mind? That we're not going to get. Okay, now, the lower seven are the midos. These are the particular manifestations of divinity that we perceive in this world. And the 7 weeks of the Omer correspond to those particular lower manifestations, which are called the midos of Hashem. Let me first enumerate them. I'm sure you know these and you've heard them over the years and learned about them. But just to go bekitzer, the first, again, these are the lower seven, is chesed, loving kindness, gevura is strength, tiferes is beauty, netzach is eternity or victory, what we'll see, hod is glory, which is in English not a very descriptive term, yesod is foundation, and the seventh is malchus. These are called the lower seven spheros, which are called midos, as opposed to the mochin, which are the upper three. By the way, just as a matter of history, whatever this means, exactly, this statement will not be so meaningful, but I'll just tell you. The reason why Chabad Chasidus was called Chabad is that unlike other Chasidus, which is called Chagat, Chagat is Chesed Gevurah Tiferes, which was based on emotion, Chabad wanted to, the Alter Rebbe, the Baal HaTanya, wanted to develop a Chasidus that was based on cognition and thought. The Alter Rebbe, and again, of all the Chasidus, it's no accident that Chabad was the only Chasidus that took root in Lithuania. The Litvak is known for rationality, the Litvak is known for non-emotionality, and at least in its inception, now what it became later is another question, I can leave it later, but the Alter Rebbe was very, very suspicious of emotional arousal as a way of serving God. Because emotions are transient. You know, you go to a nice Kalbach Friday night minion and, you know, really, really excited. But, you know, how long does it last, as it were? And, you know, what do you hold on to at the end? So the Alter Rebbe felt that emotions have to result from cognition, from thought. And then the emotions are permanent. And that's why he developed a system that was called a Chasidus of Chabad, Chachma bin Adas, instead of a Chasidus of Chagat. It was said that Polish Chasidus was based on Chagat, Chesed, which is the emotions as they manifest itself, and Chabad claimed it was based on Chachma bin Adas, the higher, so the Muchin instead of the Midos, in terms of human beings mimicking processes of the divine. But okay. But coming back to these lower seven, the concept is, each week of Sfira corresponds to one of those midos. But it gets more complicated, because since every week has 7 days, so each given day has a coordinate based both on the week and based on the day. So for example, and again, any sitter will tell you this, look at any sitter, the first day of Sfira, which is of course the second night of Pesach, is the day of loving kindness in the week of loving kindness. So it is called Chesed Shebe Chesed. The day of Chesed in the week of Chesed. The second day of Sfira is strength in the week of loving kindness. It is called Gevura Shebe Chesed. Now that is different than the first day of the second week, which is Chesed Shebe Gevura. It's going to be subtle. What exactly is the difference between a Chesed of Gevura within Chesed or a Chesed within Gevura? And they actually have books, both in Hebrew and in English, that try to explain how this translates into practical Avodas Hashem for every single day. But there is a fundamental idea that is expressed by many different sources, that we elicit from Hashem midos based on the midos that we exemplify in our own behavior. This is said to be the meaning of the verse in Tehillim, Hashem tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. It's like that old song, Me and My Shadow, right? So the same idea is, wherever I go, my shadow goes. The Svarim say, many say in the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that how I behave is how Hashem behaves with me. I show chesed, I get chesed. I show gevura, I get gevura. Right? So in Sfira, we want to bring in certain divine forces by our own behaviors. So, if we take the theme of the first week, and of these lower seven, I do want to point out, the most important is you really have a triad. 1, 2, 3 are the most important. 4, 5, 6 are secondary manifestations of 1, 2, 3. And then 7 is the culmination. Again, hopefully this will become clearer as I go on. Chesed is that koach of divinity that exemplifies benevolence, compassion, giving, unlimited kindness. Right? Chesed is God's most dominant attribute. In a human being, it was concretized in Avraham Avinu. So thus, the week of Chesed is said to be the week of Avraham Avinu, who exemplified to the furthest degree Chesed. Now you might say, why don't we just quit while we're ahead? Chesed! Why do I need all the other stuff? Just have Chesed! Well, it's not so simple. Even though it is true, as David HaMelech says, Olam Chesed Yibana, the world was founded on the principle of Chesed. But Chesed cannot be a basis for keeping the world alive. Because if all there would be Chesed, then there would never be accountability, there would never be responsibility, people would just do whatever they wanted to do, and there wouldn't be any consequences. The world would actually be a much more evil place, a much more destructive place. Just as a parent has to discipline a child, because otherwise a child will never learn what it means to be righteous and to be responsible. So too, Hashem cannot have a world of unlimited chesed, because that would destroy the moral fiber of the world. Now, another way of saying it almost looks at it the opposite way. That since chesed is the revelation of God's essence, if too much godliness were to be into the world, we as a vessel for that light would shatter. We couldn't sustain. So Hashem has to hold some of His light back. There has to be a concealment of that light. And that is why even in the human reflection of chesed, Avram, who represents the totality of chesed, there was a pesolas, there was something negative that came out of that, and that was Yishmael. So, the concept of the Sviros is that divine energy must exist in tension and in balance, and the midah of chesed needs to be balanced with gevura. Now, it's important to think, gevura means inner strength, but it's important to understand, gevura is not necessarily punishment. Gevura simply means the concealment of the divine energy to enable the world to function, to enable free will, right? If God's presence would be so pushit, there would be no free will that I could exercise. And indeed, the laws of nature, right? The laws of nature are a manifestation of Hashem's Gevura because of their predictability, because of their stability. And actually, it's very, very interesting. In Kabbalah, the chesed is said to be the male attribute, and gevura is the female attribute, even though we normally associate women with perhaps having greater kindness. Because what gevura does is, gevura takes the chesed and gives it a form, and gives it a shape, and gives it an appropriate form that it should take in the world, just as a man might create life and the woman within her body gives it shape and gives it the appropriate form, as opposed to just an unlimited expansion. So, we need chesed and gevura. In fact, the Baal HaTanya says, this is the meaning of the pasuk in Tehillim. Shemesh u'magen Hashem Elokim. God is Shemesh, is our sun, and He is our shield. So the Baal HaTanya says, the sun that gives light and enables life comes from the Hashem, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Midah of Rachamim. But the sun needs a shield, just like you need sunscreen, right? So, Shemesh U'magen Hashem Elokim. Shemesh is the Midah of Chesed. Magen is the Midah of Gevura. Shemesh comes from Yud Kei Vav Kei, and Magen comes from Elokim. Shemesh U'magen Hashem Elokim. That's what Tanya says. So in this world, there's a constant struggle between Chesed and Gevura in terms of divine energy. Yitzchak, right? If Chesed is the week of Avraham, Gevura is the week of Yitzchak, because unlike Avraham, who was involved in giving to others, Yitzchak was more introspective. Yitzchak was focused on his own aliyah. But you have to understand that this is a tension. So, but when you have two polarities, there needs to be a third mechanism that synthesizes, that balances them. Because too much chesed, we veer to gevura. But just as too much chesed produced a Yishmael, too much gevura produced an Esav. So there needs to be a balance. And again, the Maral represents it, not just the Maral, I mean, all the Makom represent it as a triangle, in which you have an inverted triangle. Chesed, Gevura gets synthesized as what is called Tiferes. Now, Tiferes means beauty, Many of you might recall the British poet, John Keats, Truth is Beauty, Beauty Truth. This is very, very fascinating because this is mamish, the vocabulary of the spheros, because the sphera of Tiferes is also described as MS, truth. And that is because truth and beauty are not in the extremities. Truth and beauty is when the forces of Chesed and Gevura can be balanced and be directed in the appropriate way. And that is why Tiferes is connected to Torah, right? The Maharal Sefer on Matan Torah is called Tiferes Yisrael, because the Torah is about teaching us how to balance giving with not giving. In other words, when do I give? When do I focus on myself? That is why, by the way, the Gemara in Shabbos says everything about Matan Torah is connected to the number 3. The Torah was given in the 3rd month. The Torah was given after 3 days of preparation. The Torah was given to a threefold nation, Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. The Torah, or the written Torah, has Torah, Neviim, Kesuvim, Tanakh. The Maral says, 3 is the number of synthesis, like a triangle. A triangle is where, if you draw a line from 2 extremities, right, you have your base, right, 2 extreme points. You draw a line from the extreme points, they meet at the apex of the triangle. 3, the Maral says, is the number of synthesis, integration, combination. And therefore, Tiferes is the grand synthesis of Chesed and Gevura. Too much Chesed, you get a Yishmael, and too much Gevura, you get an Esav. And the world itself goes topsy-turvy with Midas Adin, Midas Arachamim. Tiferes is the great mediating principle. Now, what's important to understand is that these weeks of Sphira are not just about eliciting divine energy. They're about Hashem giving us the ability to inculcate these midos. So in week number 1, I'm asking Hashem, Hashem, give me the capacity to be kind and giving. Week number 2, give me the capacity to be strong and firm, not just to give when it's not appropriate. And week number 3, give me the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, like the alcoholic's prayer and the like. So, week number 1, make me a kinder person. Week number 2, make me a stronger person. And week number 3, enable me to know when I use one and when I use the other. That's the basic triad. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes is the basic tension that exists in the universe and within the human personality. Now you're going to see the second triad is really a playoff from the first. And that is, we then get to a second level of tension and reconciliation. And on that second level, we have Netzach, Hod, Yesod. Netzach, now you'll notice this is not in chronological order, it's like the Ushpiza. Netzach is Moshe, Hod is Aaron, Yesod is Yosef. Right? So the first triad is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. The second triad, we'll get to the seventh later, is Moshe, Aaron, Yosef. Now what is Netzach? Netzach can be translated as eternity, victory. It is connected to a quality that we call perseverance. And here is the point. Hashem's plan, of course, will be carried out no matter what, meaning it can't be stopped, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is obviously an exemplar of perseverance. But in a human perspective, even if I as a human being have successfully internalized the midos of Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, I know how to synthesize them, I know how to act, I know when I should be one person or the other. But sometimes a person is simply broken by the external obstacles in their life. A person might have a family that's not supportive. A person might have a job or a school setting, whatever it might be, that is crushing their spirits. Even a person who has integrated all of these attributes may, as it were, be discouraged or broken by the externalities of their environment. Netzach is the quality of persevering against the obstacles that seek to crush you. As a human being, this was best exemplified by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a very tough job. Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader of a nation that probably numbered 3 million people. And much of the time, complaining, I mean, you know, it's hard for us to even imagine this. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Chazal, was accused of adultery, was accused of stealing. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu was accused of basic crimes, so to speak, as it were, in spite of the fact that, you know, this was a generation that saw Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and Matan Torah and the man that came b'zchus Moshe Rabbeinu. It's hard for us to understand. The Dor HaMidbar was much, much more righteous than any generation that followed, and yet the Dor HaMidbar itself was nichshal in all this. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu's job? Moshe Rabbeinu was an anav mikol adam. He was humble. A humble person who's confronted with people saying, you're not worthy for the job, would normally kind of say, yeah, I guess I'm not worthy, I might as well resign. And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want the job in the first place. And yet, he understood. At this point, he understood that this is his mission. This is his tachlis. This is his tafkit. And of course, there's an interesting lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu was not aware that this would be his life's mission till he was 80 years old. It's very interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu had a whole life before he was commanded to tell the Jewish people. Much of that life is not in the Chumash at all. The Medrash talks about he was a king in Ethiopia. He had a whole life. You figure, 80 years old, even in those days, time to retire. So the truth is, you never know. You never know what Hashem has in store for you. That the tachlis of your life could be at any possible age. That could be the purpose of everything. Moshe Rabbeinu had a whole life. Again, we don't even know what that life was. But it was a life that had many, many events in it. So Moshe Rabbeinu represents the quality of netzach. Hashem, don't let me be crushed by those that take me away from my mission. But, once again, we have this issue. The same way too much chesed can destroy the world, too much netzach can be very destructive as well. Because netzach could engender within a person a steamroller type of personality. I have my agenda, nobody's gonna stop me, spouse, children, parents, I'm going full steam ahead. And it could very easily engender a disparagement of others, ignoring others, crushing others, and therefore, netzach needs to be balanced with an opposite principle. And the opposite principle is hod, glory. Glory is when you step back and you see the glory of others. Moshe, Aaron. Moshe's job was to be the steamroller. Indeed. Moshe had to lay down the law. Moshe had to do it. He had to give the Torah. He had to tell us what we had to do. And he had to punish us when that became necessary. Although, of course, he prayed and had rachamim. Aaron's role was different. Aaron was the ohev shalom for Rodev Shalom. Aaron was the peacemaker. Aaron was the conciliator. Aaron would go to husband and wife who were fighting, and he would tell the husband, oh, your wife feels so sad for what she did. And she would tell the husband even all of it was not true, and he would say to the other party. And because of this, each one came closer to the other. And that is why the Pasuk actually says, according to Chazal, that there was greater grief when Aaron died than even when Moshe Rabbeinu died. So, netzach and hod. Netzach, do not be discouraged. Do what you have to do. Hod, step back and see the other. But once again, that needs a reconciliation principle, right? Chesed and gvur needs a reconciliation. This is the reconciliation in the second triad, and this is the one case where it's out of order. That is Yosef, Yesod foundation. Now, Yesod has many, many connotations. In many Sfarim, it refers to sexual restraint. But what I want to emphasize today is that it is really the balancing factor between Netzach and Hod. Netzach is, I'm not going to allow myself to be dissuaded. Hod is, I become receptive. But keep in mind, if Netzach creates the steamroller, Hod creates the Cheda Egon. To some degree, people want to build an Egon. So, well, who am I to stop you? You know, Aaron is receptive to what people think they need, even if it's bad for them. So the balancing factor is said to be Yesod. And this is exemplified in the personality of Yosef HaTzadik. On one hand, Yosef is a paradigm of Netzach, because look at the environment that Yosef was cast into at the age of 17. Forcibly sold by his brothers into slavery. Removed from the holiness of Yaakov Avinu's home and the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Living as a slave in Egypt, spending many years in prison. Egypt, of course, was the most immoral of all societies in terms of Gilui Arayos, in terms of Avodah Zarah. And yet Yosef persevered in keeping the will of Hashem, in subduing his Yetzer Hara. Yosef did not change. And of course, keep in mind, there's even a Mahalach and some Mefarshim, you know, people always ask the question, it's a famous question, why didn't Yosef try to contact Yaakov for all of those years? Right? He only contacted him because the brothers kind of fell into his lap. But Yosef took no steps. Well, one of the Mahalchim in some Mefarshim, although I don't think you find it in Chazal, is Yosef may have been wondering whether Yaakov himself abandoned him. Whether Yaakov perhaps wanted Yosef out of the way for whatever reason, for the benefit of the other children. So Yosef could have possibly felt a sense of rejection, even from his father. And yet, he remained righteous and steadfast. And Yosef represents the fact that a Jew must remain faithful to Hashem, no matter where, whether you're at the bottom of life, or at the very pinnacle of life, because Yosef experienced both. So Yosef did exemplify Netzach. And yet, we find in Yosef a capacity for deep receptivity to see the goodness in the other. Number one, his willingness and desire to forgive his brothers. Number two, even his interaction in Mitzrayim. You know, Yosef is described as an ish matzliach, a successful person. But you know, grammatically, although we always translate matzliach as successful, and that's how we use it in Hebrew as well today, but grammatically, matzliach does not refer to a person's own success. Matzliach is making other people successful. Now, if you've ever read any business books in airports or whatever it is, you know that the most indispensable quality for being a really successful manager is you make the people who work under you look good. Right? There are bosses that who take credit for everything that goes right in the business, and whenever anything goes wrong, it's always somebody else's fault. Yosef was the other way around. Yosef was a person who made other people look successful in their lives. And as a result, he became a success precisely because of that quality of hope. And therefore, Yosef represents the synthesis between Netzach and Hod. So now, let's look at what the 6 weeks represents. Hashem, give me kindness. Hashem, give me the inner strength to be disciplined. Hashem, give me the knowledge and the understanding to know the difference. Netzach, give me the strength not to be crushed by the externalities of my environment. Hod, but let it not be at the expense of being receptive to what people need. And Yesod, once again, helping me to balance the two. We then come to the seventh quality. And the seventh quality is said to be correspond to David HaMelech. And that seventh quality is Malchus. Malchus is kingship. What midah does Malchus represent? The Zohar's language is Malchus has no quality of itself at all. Malchus is an empty vessel through which all of the different combinations of divine energy pass through. So Hashem mixes chesed, gvura, tiferes, netzach, hod, yesod, And when all of that is mixed in the right balance or the right proportions, it comes out as God's kingship on earth. Meaning to say, in terms of my human reaction, Malchus is when I take all that Hashem has given me and I dedicate it to His service. My life now becomes an expression of Hashem's Malchus. And that was David HaMelech, because David HaMelech had no sense of his own life. David HaMelech's whole life was borrowed from Adam HaRish. Now the truth of the matter is, all of us live on borrowed time. But we don't realize that. David HaMelech realized every second was a gift. Every second was not his own. And therefore his life was a reflection of Hashem's glory. Right? So this is, again, in a very, very abbreviated way, the unique Avaida of each week of Sphere. Now we're not going into the days, but Lag Ba'Omer is very significant. Lag Ba'Omer is 4 weeks and 5 days, which means it's the fifth week. It is the fifth week and the fifth day. It is a double dose. It is called Hod Shebahot. It is the day of Hod in the week of Hod. Hod is Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen. Receptivity to others. Sensitivity to others. Ohev Shalom. Verodev Shalom. The spiritual koach Hashem puts into the Bria is a double measure of sensitivity. Now, if the students of Rabbi Akiva died because they did not see the kavod in each other, the hashpa of Lag Ba'Omer frees them from that limitation. They're able to perceive. The magefa stops. Because at least for that day, they transcended the machlokas. They transcended the parochialism. They transcended the inability to see the good in each other. And when the reason for the magefa ceases to exist, the magefa stops immediately. The Gemara has a similar story, but in a different context. Rav Yehuda HaNasi was once walking in the street, and a cow that was being led to slaughter ran to him to seek protection. And he pushed the cow away and he said, "Go be shechted, that's your destiny, that's your tachlis." And it was decreed in Shamayim that moment that because he did not have the kindness towards the animal, he would suffer pain and illness. And he was very ill for many, many years, many years. And then years later, his maid or his cleaning lady was cleaning the house, and there was a nest of field mice in the house. In those days, they weren't as crazy about those things as we are today. You know, the dirt floors. And she was going to sweep it out. And he just said, "Let it stay. Hashem's mercy is even on the mice." He immediately got better. Got better. The machla went away. So, Lag Ba'Omer is a day that is misugal for Avas Yisrael, for love, for achdus. The spiritual power Hashem puts into this day is the Midah of Aaron doubled, Hod Shebahot. And that is why the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying that day. Because they became liberated from the Loinagu Kavod Zelazeh to reach Hasar Kavod. Now, did it last? Maybe not, because the next day we were back to square one again. But at least for that day, there was a vision of what they could become. But now, let's look at the other side of the coin. Right? Lag Ba'Omer has a second simcha. It is the Hilula, the Yahrzeit of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai exemplifies the extreme of zealousness and commitment to unrelenting Avodas Hashem. There's a famous machlokas, I may have mentioned it last week, between Rabbi Yishmael and Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Torah says if you keep the mitzvahs, you'll be able to gather your grain. Rabbi Yishmael says, the Torah says you're allowed to work for a living. That's good to know. Which makes sense. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, "Work for a living? What type of ridiculous thing is that? A person is going to plow when it's time to plow, and plant when it's time to plant, and harvest when it's time to harvest. How can a person learn? So he makes the amazing assertion that if the Jewish people would truly be doing the will of Hashem, Hashem will take care of them without any work on their part. And of course, autobiographically, he so states, because for 12 years he was in a cave, and the ravens brought him meat. I don't know, wonder what hashgacha, there's a big serious problem. If a bird brings you meat, you can't automatically trust it, but okay. A tree sprouts up with fruit and water. It worked for me, it can work for you. And the Gemara says, many people followed the path of Rabbi Yishmael and they were successful. And many people tried to follow Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and it didn't work. They weren't on that madrega. Now the Vilna Gaon, granted, does say the Gemara condemns this path for the many. There are yechidim who should follow the path of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and I will leave it to your own discussion as to when do you follow one path or the other path. But be it as it may, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai represents the epitome. And by the way, I want to make an interesting point about this. When we throw around the words the madrega of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, what do I mean exactly? I don't necessarily mean his greatness in learning. Really, what we're talking about is the greatness of his emuna in Hashem. His emuna basically was, I will accept with love whatever Hashem gives me. That's the person that is given that sechus. Okay, it's not so much someone has a nice, you know, has a good head. The real test is his mesiras nefesh is so strong that he accepts with love, he and she together accept with love. There's a story through Shach. It's a very cute story. I hope it doesn't offend anybody. Bachur in Panovich was engaged to a kala. He brought her in to meet the Rosh Hashiva, and the girl said to Rav Shach, I am prepared to make any sacrifice, my son, for my husband to learn. I will sacrifice, I will suffer, I will give up everything so he'll become a Talmud Chacham. So Rav Shach told him, break off the shidduch. He says, because if a person's attitude is, I am suffering and I'm willing to suffer, nobody can be a martyr for their whole life. The attitude has to be, it's not a sacrifice. It's what I love to do. It's what I want. It gives me the greatest satisfaction. Right? The idea that I'm going to suffer no matter what, Rav Shach says, is by definition an attitude that's not going to last. Again, I apologize if I, whatever. Okay. But be it as it may, and by the way, the story goes, after 12 years, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai goes out of the cave. And he sees farmers working, and he can't believe it. How can a person give up eternity for the transient physicality of this world? And he looks at the person, and the person gets burnt up. Not that he intended, that doesn't mean he intentionally killed him, but his thoughts like unleashed these spiritual forces. And Hashem said, get back to the cave. And he went there for a year. He comes out after a year. And it's Erev Shabbos, and he sees a farmer carrying bundles of hadassim, of myrtle, and he's about to do the same thing again. But then the farmer says, there are two bundles here in honor of Shabbos, one for Shomor, observing Shabbos, one for Zohar. So he then realized that for a Jew, even the physical world can be a vehicle of holiness. But Bekitzur, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai represents the height of Emunah, the height of Torah, the height of Kedusha. So on one hand, one simcha of Lag BaOmer connects us to Avas Yisrael. The Aaron Sheba Aaron, Hod Sheba Hod. The other simcha of Lag BaOmer connects us to the passion, the commitment, the fire, the fervor, the Islavos of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Once again, you would think, unfortunately, maybe the more I become zealous in my avoda, the less kavod I can have in others. But again, Lag BaOmer brings the two ideas together, once again, that if you want to become a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you also have to be mesakein the chait of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. to see the kavod. That if you want to become Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you have to be misaking the chisaron, the lack, in the students of Rabbi Akiva, to show kavod zeh lazeh. Right. So this is Lagman. By the one final thing. Obviously, you know that there's a big minhag to light bonfires on Lag BaOmer, and I hope it's not affecting people's breathing capacity or whatever it is. But there are many reasons why Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's Torah was compared to fire. But there is a svara that says that the day that he died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu extended the day. The sun did not set till he died, because his Torah should be connected to the day, and therefore to show that even in the darkness, what should have been darkness, there was light. That is the minhag of the fire. And B'ezras Hashem, I hope that throughout the darkness of the Gullus that we're still in, the light of Rabbi Shimon will continue to inspire us, to raise us. But as we contemplate the greatness of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we should also remember the chait of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and resolve to improve ourselves in that way. Is there a question?
Yeah, I heard an opinion that because Rabbi Akiva was so great.